You ever heard the saying, you kiss your mother with that mouth? A lot of the passages in Scripture are not just about praising God and joy. The passage today that we just heard from the Psalms is about, you know, the words that are coming out of people's mouths, the words that are coming out of our mouths. Our second Old Testament passage is from Proverbs. We've been doing this sermon series, taking different Proverbs, and oftentimes maybe two Proverbs together, two little passages together will be on the same topic. Today we have a little bit longer section because all of them are kind of like a parent or a grandparent's advice towards their children, but it's also God's words for us. Today, Proverbs is on 587 of the Old Testament, chapter 4, starting in verse 10. The admonition to keep to the right path. Hear, my child, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Don't even go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what they stumble over. My child, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and let your gaze be straight before you. Keep straight the path of your feet and all of your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we've all had bad days. We've all woken up on the wrong side of the bed, but we're not talking about that today. We're talking about, you know, someone for whom, like my friend, we used to say she's got an Eeyore sort of personality. Remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? It's the donkey who the rain cloud follows everywhere Eeyore goes, and there's this little dark cloud, right? So we're talking about people for whom it's not just an occasional unhappiness. This is somebody who is a Debbie Downer. And men, so that you don't think that you're left out of this, maybe there's, you know, a Kevin Killjoy out there or a negative Nathan, not just the Debbie Downer or the whiny Wendy. This is basically someone who is unhappy or satisfied with anything and everything. So let me see if you can relate to these characteristics of a Debbie Downer. If we can count on you to sink even a helium balloon, you might be a Debbie Downer. If winning the lottery makes you think about all the hassle of the getting the prize and all the people who might call you and pretend they're your friends and family, you might be a Debbie Downer. Or if you can't help but see the glass as just plain empty, no matter how full it may be, you might be a Debbie Downer. Listen to this letter that a man wrote. Dear God, so far, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, I haven't lost my temper, I haven't been grumpy or nasty or selfish, but in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed, and that's when I'm going to need a lot of help. I can relate to that. I'm not a morning person. So as we talk about Debbie Downers or, you know, the whiny Wendy's or the negative Nathans or the Kevin Killjoys, there's aspects of all of us in here, you know, there's tendencies that we all have. So it might be easier to think about someone else in your life, but just try to do a little self-reflection here too, okay? Oftentimes people who are like this have a difficult time with their self-worth. They're oftentimes their own worst critic or perfectionists. People who are negative oftentimes haven't learned how to love themselves. In kindergarten, we talk about having other people fill our love buckets. Did you guys learn about this in kindergarten, right? Okay. So everybody has this little bucket or this little cup, and when somebody pays us a compliment or, you know, that sort of thing, they're filling our bucket, okay? And remember good fuzzies? Okay. Warm fuzzies. Thank you. Oh, we should have made some of those for today. All right, so when somebody fills our love bucket, they're filling it with good things, okay? And then when we give things out, we're giving them out. But if we only rely on others to fill that bucket and not with God, then we're eventually going to run out of things to give out of our bucket, and we'll be not having very much left. So we need to remember that other people are going to let us down. Other people are not always going to fill our bucket. And if we're always relying on other people to do that, we're going to be let down. But love and respect are also one of those things where if you love and respect yourself, other people tend to love and respect you too. Okay? As I was thinking about this and kind of remembering about self-worth and where that comes from, there's several different Bible passages that I think would be helpful, like as we learn about who God sees us as and how we're supposed to see ourselves, sprinkled all through Scripture. But we are made in God's image. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And not only are we made in God's image, we are not a mistake. Psalm 139 says, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And not only are we not a mistake, we are chosen and formed by God, God also has a plan for us. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand to be our way of life." It's not that we were made perfect. Remember, we've all got bumper stickers on our forehead that says still under construction, and we'll talk about that in a second. But this person, this temple of God that God has created to hold God's Spirit, we need to hold that as precious. God has made this, and God doesn't make junk. God created us. A perpetually unhappy person, though, is coming from a different place. If they're asked to change or to move a little bit, they don't like change in their own lives, and they certainly don't like change in your life. It might make them feel jealous if they see that something's happening in your life, but they're not ready to change yet. And someone who's perpetually unhappy like this will oftentimes refuse to think outside the box. They think that they're happy inside their own little bubble, you know, because they can control it, or at least, you know, things are the way they expect them to be. And if they go even a little bit wrong, that's uncomfortable. And so they kind of put up that wall again. And so when they see you stepping outside your own comfort zone, they often get a little jealous or uncomfortable. And sometimes they'll try to suck you back in, especially when you're forging your own path and kind of going another way. But this can come out as negativity or criticism, even when good things are happening in your own life. But as I just said a few seconds ago, God is always doing a new thing. God says in Ezekiel 36:26, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Sounds like transformation to me. We've been preaching about that a lot these last couple months. Paul was encouraging the new believers in Philippi when he said, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ." So that means whether you're 8 or 82, God is still working on you, and it's okay. It's going to be a little uncomfortable, but God's still working on you. And then there, God says he's not done with us. He's going to show us that way 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has passed away, for behold, the new has come. So God would have come, even if it was just for you. People who are perpetually negative, though, maybe don't want to do that introspection work. Maybe they're not very self-reflective. Why? Well, it makes them feel things that they might not want to feel. Many of us would rather ignore our feelings and deal with something outside of us than to be aware of our own motivations. It's easier just to look at another person and their problems or place blame over there than try to work on what in us is making us feel uncomfortable. People who are perpetually negative oftentimes can't seem to let things go. They'll play the same little record in their, you know, in their speech. So even if you've tried to deal with the problem or given them different information, they'll still often dredge that back up. But if you can find it hard to be optimistic or positive about things, it's possible that there's a lot of things that happened in your life. And so, you know, everything else that happens is just kind of fulfilling that little script that you've played for yourselves. You know, everything will always go bad for me. So this next thing, even though it looks good right now, it's probably going to go bad. Okay? That's another way that this can play out too. But being a negative person and putting up that shield often just kind of hides us from our own injuries and insecurities. Bad memories can oftentimes masquerade as negativity. It might feel safer to be negative about things than to actually have the things around us change. Charles Swindoll was saying that, you know, he thought that in his life, 10% of what happens is, you know, what happens, and 90% of what happens is his attitude about it. He says this: the longer I live, the more I realize the impact that attitude has on my life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the present, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes. More important than what other people say or think or do. Attitude is more important than appearances, giftedness, or skill. Attitude will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding that attitude that we'll embrace for that day. We can't change our past. We can not change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string that we have, and that's our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. There's a lot of truth in there. So what can we do with the fact that we have Debbie Downers around us, or that we ourselves kind of might fall into this role? Well, I want to make a little distinction between being negative and criticizing something that's real. We can have real criticism, but as we talk about that, there's a difference between being negative and being critical. So having negative feelings is healthy. If we were just positive all the time, you know, we'd, you know, and had like little sunshines and rainbows and fairies, you know, all around, that's an equal form of, it's just the opposite end of the spectrum. Okay, so there is a difference. And the difference is a 5-to-10 ratio, okay? They say that for every negative comment or criticism, you almost need 10 compliments to kind of combat that. And so if you're kind of looking at something that's negative, you know, think about it in a 5-to-10 sort of ratio of, you know, thinking of 5-to-10 things that are going well or going positive before making the one negative critical response. That can kind of be a good way to see whether or not this is kind of where you're falling. So we need to acknowledge what's done right at the same time as being able to look and be critical, but maybe try to balance those two things. Positive communicators encourage and inspire others. So acknowledge what's done right before you address what isn't. In our scripture today, it talked about, you know, blessing the Lord with our tongue, and then it talks about, you know, the other folks in the scripture passage who are, you know, doing the other thing with their tongue too, saying wicked things or evil things and just tearing people down. Remember the part at the beginning? You kiss your mother with that mouth? You know, but if we're taking all that stuff in, if there's all this negativity going out, it can't help but affect your heart. There was Paul is writing to the Philippians, encouraging them that, you know, the words that are in their mouth and the things that cross their mind, you got to fill yourself up with good things. He says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Most of us have a pretty good life. We've got roofs over our heads. We have plenty of food and water and shelter. Most of us don't even lack the things that we want. We have friends. We can worship in freedom. And instead of embracing this wonderful life that we have around us, if we're constantly in that negative place, it's just switching it, looking at the things that are positive before looking at the negative things that happen. But Debbie Downers tend to just focus on the way that things should be, even if it's just like a really minor little thing. So there were these two elderly women who went to an orchestra concert. This is just a way to illustrate this. And on the way home, one of them asked the other, well, how did you like the concert? And the other woman said, well, the way the first violinist blew his nose after the first selection just completely ruined the evening for me. Some people miss the entire concert of life because they focus on the wrong thing. Don't let that one little annoying thing ruin your concert. Charles Dickens said, reflect upon your present blessings, of which every person or man has any, not on your past misfortunes, which all men have some. A negative person's first reaction is finding the person that's responsible and attacking that person and placing blame. Positive people, on the other hand, tend to focus on the problem and not attack the person. So if you've got a problem with your spouse and you go to your best friend, you know, they're going to commiserate with you. Oh, they're horrible. Oh, but if you never tell your spouse, how do you expect them to figure it out? Figure it out. You, as the good friend, need to say, you know, need to listen and help them process and then say, well, how are you going to deal with that? You know, because if you never go to that person, then they can't know that you actually have a problem and they can't be expected to do anything about it. Positive people focus on the problem, not on the person. Positive people say, let's work this out together. And let's work together rather than attacking someone or speaking poorly about them behind their back. So we need to hold each other, whether it be friends, whether it be family, we need to hold each other accountable. And we need to speak the truth in love. So when we do bring forward that critique, it matters just as much as what you're talking about as how you say it. Yeah? My mom and my grandma always say, it's much easier to catch flies with honey than with vinegar, you know? So how you say something matters in how the person is going to receive it. Matthew in chapter 12, Jesus says, but I say to you that every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. So there's a certain, you know, extent to which our words matter, not just because we praise God with that mouth, but our words can do a lot of damage as well as a lot of healing. So we need to take stock of our words. One of the ways that we can help Debbie Downers in our lives is to encourage them to work towards a solution and not just to complain about it. Most of the time when they're invited, though, to be part of the solution, they will just walk away because it's easier to walk away and disengage and go talk about it somewhere else than it is to actually engage with the solution. But I don't know, this week, actually it was just yesterday, Robbie and I were having, just a conversation, parent conversation, but Annabeth was coming in and barging in. And I know, I didn't ask you about this, so I owe you a dollar. You know, and I remind my kids, like, your emergency or your problem is not my emergency or my problem. Yeah, you've heard that before. So Annabeth got very wrapped up in somebody else's problem. Her friends were texting, they were on a group text, and another girl in another state supposedly got pregnant, and her parents were trying to convince her to drop out of school. And Annabeth was getting very wrapped up in this, and every single new text, she wanted to read us that long text and get us involved. And I said, look, you don't even know this person. You're getting so wrapped up in this. It's not your emergency, and you're interrupting parents having a conversation. Well, it turns out that it was a complete hoax. Her friend was trying to see what sort of reaction her other friends would get. Oftentimes, we don't even know the other side of the story, though, and we get wrapped up in the problem before taking a step back. So when we stop and listen and encourage others to take a deep breath, oftentimes we can de-escalate the anxiety or whatever's happening in it. And just remember that there's always another side to that story. So just because someone complains, it doesn't mean that you have to engage or you have to, you know, your emergency, or their emergency doesn't have to become your emergency. So ask yourself, is this my problem? Chances are it's not. And if not, encourage the other person to do something about their problem. And if they're not willing to be part of the solution, then you need to exercise good boundaries and disengage. You might say something like, you know, I don't really like hearing about things like this, so I'm going to step away. You know, like if you're in a large group of people and they always seem to talk about something, maybe just go join another set of people. Or say something like, you know, I'd prefer not to talk about this anymore. With Debbie Downer sort of people, you know, our inclination is to, you know, if they're really down, it's our inclination to, like, try to be really up and really positive. But there was a study with the researchers at the University of Waterloo that looked at the effects of, like, positive affirmations and compliments. And they found that, like, those things work with people who already are positive and who already have a really good self-image of themselves, and don't work with people who are really down and don't have good images of themselves. But our inclination is, like, the worse somebody is or the more negative they are, our inclination is to, like, feed positivity into that person. But sometimes we end up saying things that aren't really true because we want to build them up so much. When I was growing up, you know, our teachers everywhere, it was told to us, you can be anything you want to be. And so they started giving out certificates for doing well on the playground. I mean, like, just things that, you know, didn't really make sense. Everybody gets the good student award. Everybody gets a certificate of achievement. And when everybody gets that, it means nothing. But if you wanted to become a doctor or a teacher or something, you have to go through a certain amount of study. You can't just sit in your house and play video games. You have to actually do something about it. And so so if you pour positive comments and encouragement into someone who already has a negative self-image of themselves or who is really negative, make sure that your words count, that those affirmations or those compliments are really real and that they're backed up by something real, not just because you want to put positivity into them. So what else can you do? Well, you can encourage them towards health. We talked about how, you know, there might have been situations or trauma in that person's life where there might be a real mental health issue there as well. And it may take a very long time before they see it as a problem and they actually seek out that help. But you can encourage them if you're the only person that they talk to and, you know, you're feeling really drained by that. Encourage them to talk to someone else and maybe get the help that they need, because maybe they need more than just a listening ear. If you can't help the Debbie Downer to get the help that she needs, it's okay to offer solutions, but they might not be ready to take them. The Bible reminds us to guard our hearts and to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But if you've got all this negativity, all this garbage coming in, you might need to take a break from it. I know a couple years ago, Pastor Robbie took a break from Facebook and social media during Lent, and it was so good, he just kind of kept going for a while. There are certain people who I've had to unfollow because their feeds, you know, what they say is just so negative. I've changed the news stations that I listen to. I cannot stand to listen to the radio when my grandmother's in the car. I've just shut it off because of the station that she wanted to listen to. For the 2 weeks that I was there with my helping take care of her, if all I did was listen to her radio station, it was bringing me down. So turned off the radio and just said, let's talk. So a simple thing of, you know, changing what comes in or just taking a break from it can sometimes make a big difference. So take care of yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. This temple that God has given you, this body, is the one in which God inhabits and sends his spirit to live within you. And at the same time, what we talked about during the children's sermon, the other person's body is that image bearer, is that temple of God that God has also created and put God's spirit into. So when you're talking to them, when you're interacting with someone else, see first the image that God has put there and treat them like a beloved child of God who God also dwells in, and don't tear it down. Amen.